Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios to begin another wonderful conversation with you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, John Ramos.
Good morning.
I think he's kidnapped. I don't know. He's a hostage there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Free him. That mic. Give a shout out this morning to all the VFN family scattered from Okinawa to Texas. We love you. We're excited about this week. Next week, coming up on Friday, the VFN family gathering. We have so many wonderful things that we're going to be talking about. Javon, we heard the awesome encounter, the perfect timing when you turned on VFN radio. You heard us sending you love, man. We're still sending you love, man. Give a shout out this morning to Juan and Ayana. Also, we'll give a shout out to the ALT in Atlanta. Jawanza, good morning. Good morning, Don. We'll give a shout out this morning also to Virginia Nicole. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited about your next part of your venture in God. We'll give a shout out this morning to Peter. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful testimony, man. Us together for him forever. Give a shout out this morning to Marjane. What a wonderful, wonderful thing the Lord has done in your life. We marvel at what God has done and shown himself so mighty in your life, in the life of VFN Beach Haven, and the Lord is so good. He is able in these times to provide for those that are his. Morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
You know what?
What?
I had so much on my schedule this morning. Sort of like the Marines, an out-of-shape Marine. You know, doing more in the morning before most people wake up. I probably could have done it sooner, you know, but seeing that I'm not in the shape of a Marine, I am in a shape. Yes. It's a different shape.
What shape is that?
I don't know, but I really want to repent for all the times I complain about the shape I used to be in.
I know, right?
Oh, my God.
Talking about myself. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, he's like, I know. What's he talking about? You know, where he can't do that.
I was having flashbacks.
You know what I'm talking. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. And it's had so much coming together that, you know, just running into the studio this morning, and we were hoping that we can get some of it out. I mean, it's just hard to explain quite often that God has so much to say about what's going on, and there's so many encouraging words. You know, I got a chance to minister, and just yesterday talking about it ain't over till God says it's over, and God is a God this is how He always works. He waits until it looks like it's over when Adam and Eve ate the apple in the garden. I mean, it's got to be over. What are you doing? I'm hiding from God right now. I have apple dripping from my face,
stuck in sauce.
Yeah, applesauce. I got apple skin in my teeth, you know, and it's not apple, but we're just using it as an analogy. I'm sure Apple's a good company. And and then, you know, in their digestive tract, you know, in their stomachs is laying the sin of their choices. And you hear his boom, boom, boom. I mean, this God walking through the garden, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, Adam looks at Eve and goes, "What did you do?" You know, and so, you know, and she said, "You ate it too."
Don't you love when God asks the question, "Where are you?"
Yeah. And then so here he comes, you know, God's getting closer and closer. You know, Adam and Eve are going, "It's over." We had all this beautiful house that he gave us. We had this wonderful job. We had this great nation that he gave us. We had this wonderful family, all these different things. And now we chose to do what he told us not to do, and he's getting closer. And think about it, right?
Yeah.
That's right, you know? And you think about it, he told us not to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did it, and he's getting closer. And all of a sudden, we just start looking for places, right?
That's right.
Places to hide. Ah, I got to get a second job. You know what I'm saying? If maybe I'll move out of town. Well, Google's proven no matter where you move nowadays.
No, they'll find you.
You know, I get my car in a hurry so the cameras can't catch me too much. But I do have my phone with me so they know where my dot is. That's what I can say. I can say I was not there. Go check my dot.
Yeah.
My beacon was there. When I saw I ran. Anyway, so, which I'd love to tell that story someday. But you know that anxiety that they must have felt. You know, it looked like it was over. And right. You may be listening to this morning, you know, you're thinking the very same thing. And here you are, it's like, oh my goodness, I was deceived. You know, I was deceived as a father, as a mother, as a family, as a person, a believer. And, you know, and I was blinded by my own lust for more and things and stuff and money and whatever it was. And I bit the forbidden fruit. I bit it. You know, and you hang your head in shame and you're thinking, no. Don't invite the minister over right now.
Yeah.
your wife says, "Let me just call the pastor." No.
Not today.
Not right now. Or the husband says to the wife, "Let's just go to counseling." I will not. You know, or the children. You know, I mean, the whole thing is just think about it. And so, but then God shows up when it looks like it's totally over. And he provides a way out. A lot of people say, you know, well, God threw them out of the garden. No, he didn't. He didn't throw them out of the garden. He prevented them from reaching up and eating from the tree of life and living forever in an eternal fallen state. If they would have ate from the tree of life, they would have lived forever in a fallen state. So he ushered them out. He killed an animal. There was a sacrificial animal. He used the skin of the animal to cover them. So the sacrifice of the animal, the blood covered their sin, but it didn't forgive their sin. But he made a way. I mean, he made a way. I want to encourage you right now because you're looking at, you know, things in society. I mean, what the enemy is trying to do continually is to get you to lock in to the lie that says it's over.
That's right.
You know, and it's not over until God says it's over. But by the way, when God says it's over, ask Eli. You remember Eli?
Mm-hmm.
Eli, I'll never forget that. As a new believer, I was reading about the priest Eli who was chosen by God. And he was, you know, Samuel was being raised up, a prophet of God was being raised up. And this is why Eli's don't like Samuels, you know, and he's being raised up in the house of God and the temple of God where the priests were ministering there. And he would sleep by the ark. I mean, he would sleep right there by the presence of God. I mean, he was so, you know, in tune with God, not Eli, but Samuel did. And all of a sudden, you know, this man who was into sin, this man who refused to do things God's way anymore, the man that didn't deal with the priests, you know, that was going on, the things that was happening, he just let it continue to happen, that would just send the ark out for whatever reason, sent the presence of God out for whatever reason, you know, he still knew how to hear from the voice of God. He remembered what it was like to hear from the voice of God. And so Samuel comes to him and says, because Samuel hears his name, and he goes, you know, what do you need? You know, like, I was sleeping by God's presence. Do you need me really? You know? And he goes, well, that wasn't me, you know. And he comes back, he goes asleep again, and again he hears his name, and he goes back to Eli, and then Eli says, that's God.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that those who no longer hear from God can let you know what it was like when they did? Mm. You'd think they'd go back and say, you know, I want to hear from him too. Let's just go with God together. Right. But there's a reason why he didn't, because he said, well, go listen to him, find out what he's saying, and come back. It's a dangerous thing for England to say.
Yeah, right.
This is what you say. Let's pray fast, check ourselves, see if we're in the faith. You know, get back in God's word again, abide with him. Let's pray. And then, I mean, even Ahab knew how to do this, right?
My famous last words, my goodness.
Yeah, no, Ahab knew to fast and pray and rip his clothes. And God turned, you know, in the beginning of what Ahab's doing. Right. But Eli said, yeah, he was so familiar with God. Just find out what he wants. You know, I'm sure he wants you to, you know, tell, you know, the widow lady up the street that she needs a blessing or something like that. I don't know. And so and then he goes away and hears from God. He's, you know, and he comes back. He says, well, be it. May God deal with you ever so severely. You know, don't ever say that. May God deal with you ever so severely.
No, you don't want to do that.
And for the King James, may God dealeth with you ever so severely. And he said, okay, I'll tell you. And he said, because you wouldn't deal with your sons, because you wouldn't deal with the priest, because you wouldn't, you just took lightly the things of God. You know, that it's that you know, you just shun me. You just took my business over and made it your own. Mm. And he says, the priesthood's going to be removed from ever in your life. And, you know, your whole lineage, pain, the sword will never leave your... And it's like, dude, Samuel, come on, dude. Don't you know we've been... You know, and he delivered this word. But this is the thing Eli said, though. It was pretty interesting. You know, before his sons died and before he fell and broke his neck, he said, well, God said it.
Mm.
Therefore it is. I mean, it was over for Eli.
Mm. Right.
But let me tell you, that's a rarity, because Eli could have, before he sent somebody to hear from the voice of the Lord in his own home, he could have checked himself. But he forgot who God was, and he forgot the ways of God, you know. And so, but it's not over until God says it's over.
That's right.
Even when, you know, it's like you know, I'm saying this, I believe, because somebody's listening today, and you're thinking it's over, you know. But if you look back in your history, there's many times you thought it was over. You know, you thought it was over. You thought you were, you know, it was coming. Your relationship was going to come to an end. You thought, you know, you were going to lose a child, or you thought you were going to lose your job and it would never be over. You would never get a job again, or you were going to, you know, whatever, you know, something. And it just, you had the enemy just bombarded you with, you know, it's over. Mm. It's over. And it's not over till God says it's over.
That's right.
It's so important. That's right. It's so important. Remember, if you're God's, or if you're not God's, but you want God to be your Lord, and that's a perfect time when God's saying it's about to be over for you.
Yeah,
that you can make Jesus your Lord, and guess what? It won't be over for you. Life as you knew it may be different, but it's not going to be over for you. I mean, you think about everything. I mean, Abraham and Sarah. You know, here they were. You know, God said, "Get thee up and go, and I'll make you a great nation." And you know, they made mistakes, did all those kind of different things, but it just never happened, to the point where their bodies were good as dead. They couldn't have babies no more.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have babies no more. So it looked like it was over. It looked like, I mean, he just began with Abraham. And there is no child. There is no appropriate, there's no child coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's over. Right. It's got to be over, right?
And no seen way in the natural that it could come.
Yeah, and he tried to make it happen, and we're still dealing with that issue today. When he, you know, his wife said, I got an idea. You seen, you know, our housekeeper here? Really? And now? Hagar,
that's
right?
That's the truth.
And they believe that the housekeeper, their slave, or you know, that that they would have a child if they actually had it sitting in your lap. If Hagar had Abraham's child while Hagar was sitting in the lap of Sarah having the child, then it would be Sarah's child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm sure Hagar's going, I don't, you really? That was me screaming. That was me going through that. And then you take my child? That's crazy. But it looks like it's happened today, don't it? Surrogacy and all that.
I think there was a little resentment back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she got so upset that she just took off. And even though it was Sarah and Abraham's mistake, you know, and or sin, that she just got upset and she took off. And she was in the wilderness and it looked like it was over for her.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was over. I mean, think about it. They used her. They abused her. They tried to take her child. They tried to promote her child. And then when the truth came, you know, they had to release and tell her, listen, everything I told you wasn't right because I stepped ahead of God and I have to step back. And they're thinking you can just throw away your mistakes. But God's going, no. It's not over for them either, right? Because she's out there in the wilderness and she just went out to die. Matter of fact, it was Sarah's idea in the first place. Right. But then Sarah goes, send that woman away.
Right.
You know, it's like, don't you cause this? Aren't you the one that was stirring all this problem up here? And now you're telling me. I was like, another story. And so then she's out there in the wilderness. It looks like it's totally over, but God shows up to their mistake, to where, because they're human beings, human beings were hurt in the process and were produced in the process. And he said, listen, he said, I want you to go back. But I'm going to make your son a great nation.
Mm.
You know? And you think, what's going on? Well, what's going on was when Abraham and Sarah thought it was over, they turned to their own strength. And this is very important right now. During this time, we're seeing great things that looks as projecting and prognosticating that it's over. It's just not over. It's just not over. I mean, think about it. It wasn't over for them, and it's not over for you.
It's not
over till God says it's over. And you think about, I mean, every single time, I mean, you can go through the entire, but think about David and Saul. David was a chosen man by God. Saul, another chosen man by God, was trying to kill David. I mean, it's got to be over when one minister is trying to kill another, right? I mean,
oh, for sure.
And both of them are chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that is happening. You have two men who are anointed by God, you know, and the thing that people don't understand was that Saul lost his call. But the anointing was still there until he was no longer there anymore. He was living on yesterday's groceries, you know what I'm saying? But he was. He was still anointed as king, and David understood, don't lay your hands on God's anointed. So he honored him even when he was trying to kill him.
Mm.
You know, you throw a sword at the dinner table, a big spear, you know, pass the ketchup and the spear. You know, I mean, it's got to be over when the king's chunking spears at you.
Yeah,
and everybody knows that he's a chosen man by God to be able to be king. You think about it. But they don't know that you've been chosen as well. And that's what embitters the present day man, is because he knows his days are numbered, unless he repents. Because Saul could have repented.
Sure.
And then, so David's running for his life. You know, he's running for his life. It's got to be over when you're running for your life. He just tried to play his guitar. He just tried to do what he was told to do. And
killed a couple of giants, you know, giants.
Yeah, killed giants that everybody was hiding from. You know, he was sent out to get 100 Philistines foreskins, and I got 300, I believe, or something like that. Or ask the Philistines, they know. And you know, where he was sent out to kill thousands, and, you know, he would kill 10,000s, and all of a sudden his statistics, his Facebook had more likes on it than Is that so funny? It's true, isn't it? And so he had more likes on his Facebook than Saul had, and Saul began to get jealous because he turned on the radio. Song, and the song was, you know, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. You know, and it's like David's going, please don't sing that.
Let's
song.
Not bring this up.
Don't understand who I work for. Let's just stay low. Let's stay cool. I mean, it looks like it's over, right? It's like hit the airways. Like he's number one on the top 10 songs singing now, and he knows it's got to be over now. Because he had private issues, but now he's got public issues. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And he has to run for his life. He goes and makes his wife tells us, listen, throw some stuff in the bed and make it look like me. Mm. You know, it'd take more stuff to throw in the covers for me. That's not him. That's a broom. Anyway, so then, you know, he runs out the window and starts to run for his life. I mean, it's got to be over when you're making like a fake person under your covers and, you know, and the man who was chosen by God to lead his people's after you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I'm encouraging you right now. If you're listening to us, it ain't over till God says it's over.
That's right.
Understand that David, God was working out his will, you know, in the whole situation. You know, what men mean for evil, God means for good. So, and so here's David. He's running. I mean, he's running to a point he finally finds a cave. I mean, not a cheap hotel. It at least got some air blowing over you that does smell like an ashtray. You're like, I found that why you don't get cheap hotel rooms.
Oh, my goodness.
I slept in an ashtray. You know, I didn't sleep. I stayed for about a microsecond. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Is this what an ashtray feels like? Anyway, so it's like, do you have one that just has pets in it? You know, anyway. and so, you know, he's running for his life. He gets to a cave. You know, and it looks, it's got to be over. I mean, you're in a cave. I'm sure you didn't have cable in or nothing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was out there and he's just like, he's like, oh my goodness, what do I do? What do I do? Dear God. And he starts writing some Psalms. You can see some Psalms. The Psalms like, oh my God, the king is trying to kill me. Dear God, Selah, you know, help me. And, but you are good and you're coming, right? And so he's writing these songs. And then finally somebody shows up to help him. It's broke, busted, left-handed, disgusted, government-hating, you know, people, 300 of them, right? Something like that.
That's right.
They hate it. They hated everything. It's like, no, I don't hate the government. I don't hate what God's established. You're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some misfits. And then he's like, it's got to be over now.
Just join me.
Yeah, because David was not those people. No. David was not those people. That is not David's heart. Remember, David was for the king. David's for God. David did everything that God required of him. But now, right, others who are doing things God required, you know, it's like, you're ruining my reputation. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to think I was doing, you know, that kind of thing. And right, so, right. And so it looks like it's over at that point, right? I mean, it was mm-hmm. already bad enough in the cave, but now you got 300 sweaty, I'm sure they didn't have right guard. Man, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And anyway, so
right turn left.
I know. Is there ventilation in this cave? And so here, it's got to be over, right? I mean, it's got to be over. It ain't over till God says it's over. I'm talking to you this morning. Mm-hmm. Realize it's not over. The reason why you're hearing so much stuff on the news and the radio, and you need to start listening to VFN radio, and don't listen to what the world's saying, because the purpose of them being held captive and their tongues to speak into your life is to get you to convince it's over, so you'll lock your faith into it being over instead of lock your faith into the reality that God moves. When men think it's over, that's when God does his best work. That's when he brings glory to his name. I mean, think about it. I mean, he's running mm-hmm. for his life. He's going from the cave of Adullam and all these different caves. He's running, and I mean, Saul's out looking for him. He's like, don't you have a job? Yes. What are you doing?
Yeah, right.
What are you doing dragging me down? You know, it's like, come on, I'm out here. Listen, I left. You know, don't just stay away. Mm-hmm. And he's out hunting them up. You know, and no matter what happens, of course, you know, Saul's just bent on trying to destroy him. And God was really training David up. And you have to understand that. It's not over. God was in all that. Because God mm-hmm. sent that spirit on Saul to be able to work him up so that he will work David over. So David would not be another Saul, mm-hmm. because Saul had no process, and David had lots and lots of process.
Mm-hmm.
And process is important because your gifting can take you places that your character can't keep
That's
you.
That's right.
And so it's got to be like it's over. It's totally over, and but it wasn't over. It was not over.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden, one day, out the middle of nowhere, while Saul was out trying to deal with his flesh, I mean, Saul was out trying to deal with the Philistines. I mean, you read about Philistines, you think about flesh. I mean, it's got to be over. He's having this huge turmoil with his flesh, and it just won't stop. And it's all of a sudden, he's just given over to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's given over to the Philistines, right? That's what happens. If you stay on that trail of destruction and follow the adversary's ways in darkness, there'll be a day like Samson that we won't come back from it.
Mm.
And that's when it becomes over, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks like it's over. I mean, Dave is like in a whole other place now. He's totally okay with it. He has no more business cards to say. I will be the number two king.
Took the website down.
Oh my goodness.
Dude, have y'all seen David?
Yeah, right. Can you imagine today he'd be Googled to death, right? I know he was here. I mean, you know, he killed his 10,000. It's got to be David out somewhere.
Took his collar off.
I mean, it's got to be over when, you know, they're trying to force you to come against God's people and you refuse to do it. And so you start foaming at the mouth and scratching on the gate, acting like you're crazy. David's sitting here going, you know, they're fixing the, it's got to be over when you're having to act crazy, right? Just to stay alive or just to keep from being partnering with those who are trying to bring harm to God's people. Put it that way. And he just kind of, he's like foaming at the mouth, scratching the gate, and like it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's got to be over at that point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you two would have been around at that point, you know what I'm saying? His whole manager, like, that was the gate drooling incident. Do you remember that?
Could you explain that?
Anyway, so with that, you know, understand, it looked like it was over, but all of a sudden, one day, the Philistine's wound saw, his flesh wounded him to the point when he tells his own armor bearer, you know, the people that were around him, just kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Kill me. I don't want to fall into the hands of the Philistines. You know, take me out. And, I mean, David's probably thinking it's over. I mean, it's gotta be over.
Right.
I mean, it's gotta be over. And then all of a sudden, his armor bearers go, no, I'm not going to do it. And he falls on his own sword. He does himself in.
Mm-hmm.
And the people come to David and they say, listen, we were always for you.
All right.
We always knew you heard from the Lord, right?
Those newsletters. I got them.
All of a sudden, you have like a lot of friending on your Facebook. Anyway, so then you know, if he only had 300 friends, I guess on his Facebook at that point. Anyway, so he was only one for. Oh, that can mean anyway. So it looked like it was over, and so then they come to him and they say, "Listen, will you be our king? Will you be our king?" And so they came to him. I mean, it looked like it was over, but understand this. It's not over till God says it's over.
Mm.
You will have to walk through experiences in your life. You've got to taste the what it's like to feel like it's over so you can understand the only thing you've come to the end of is yourself.
That's right.
And that's okay. It's a good experience because that's when God steps in. When your back is against the Red Sea and you got Pharaoh's army coming against you and you're sandwiched between drowning and being massacred, all you can do is look up and just go, God. And that's what he wanted us to do. He always wants us to look up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when God does his best work. Listen, what they're telling us in America and what they're saying, that's all a strategy. It's all a point to see what is God's people going to do. Are they going to look up? Or are they going to try to work with Pharaoh's army? Mm. You know, are they going to turn to making bricks again and say, listen, we just got to turn to government? Or are we going to just go kill ourselves by drowning in the sea? Or are we just going to look up to God and say, God, here we are, you know, deliver us? And this is when our God delivers. He delivers at the point when you're sandwiched between inevitable destruction or massacre. I mean, that's where it is. And don't think it's over at that point, because what God did when Moses raised up his staff, as the Lord gave him a word, as he spent time with God, abiding, which we talk about all the time, God began to blow, and he blew so hard upon the Red Sea that it pushed the waters to the point that it split in two. The Red Sea split in two.
Right.
So think about it. They had the army of Pharaoh on one side going, we're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to kill you. You killed my son. You did all this stuff to my business, and my kingdom, and we're going to kill you. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea parts, but he blows so hard on the Red Sea that even the ground that's under the sea, you can imagine how soft and mushy and gushy and, you know, things are in the bottom of a sea because it's been water forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it dried the ground out. So God's people, you know, were able to walk over on dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. It ain't over until God says it's over. Now, listen, if you buy into what they're saying, it's over for you.
That's right.
But if you understand how God works, and as a matter of fact, so we made available to you on VFN TV, you know, and you've got to get a free subscription. You can get this whole revelation that it ain't over till God says it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. You can get it at VFNTV.com as a free subscriber. We'll be right back.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you can just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know, but the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God. That know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in the Lord and all this wonderful stuff. And it's just fun. You know, you just look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And so he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know. And Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hard thing, but I have empathy though for a leader of a traditional situation, because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you. You know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Well, you know, I do want to say this morning our top three. We always talk about the top three on the torch. You got to go to the torch. If you haven't gone to the torch yet, it carries what we're doing to the next level. It's where we interact with you. It's where we talk about maybe we're sharing an interview that was taking place or some pictures of what was taking place or more of the articles and resources. You can find it on the torch. We call it the torch because it's just a word of knowledge that we believe the Lord gave us to be a light in the midst of dark times. You think about the old-fashioned torch that when it was dark, you just, you know, stuck some rags on the end of a stick and you lit it on fire and it was a torch. It kind of just showed you the light. And he says, you know, in Psalms that God's word is a light unto our feet. It tells us where we're at and a light unto our path. It tells us where we're going. If you want to know where you're at, if you want to find yourself on the map of God's destiny for you, if you want to see where God wants you to go and what his plans are for you, it's in the word of God. You get in the word of God. And so what we see that, we call it the torch. You can get to the torch, the VFN torch, at VFNTV.com. You go there and click on the VFN torch, and you will find this article after article and video after video of all the different contents that we have. Anything that we were talking about in our highlights, you can go back and listen just to segments, certain segments. You just type in the upper right-hand corner the topic or the segment or the date of what you were listening to. You can arrange them in all different order to be able to find out, you know, what you want to listen to. But in that, you know, you can listen to them. You can listen to them. You can share them with friends. And so we always talk about the top three. Used to be the top five, but there's just so many. We're so excited. And we're, you know, thousands are coming to the VFN TV and the daily radio program to us. And we're excited about being able to begin a conversation with you. Like we said, day one, you know, we just want to begin a conversation with you that we both hear from God and we're walking with him and we remember it ain't over till God says it's over. Mm-hmm. And God has a plan. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Well, the top three stories on the VFN torch is the first one, again, is still there. Islam infiltrates the U.S. government. It's where Congressman Michelle Bachmann's talking about, you know, how when the Fort Hood shooting took place, and they sent a letter to FBI to investigate radical Islam, and they referenced all their sources. Everything was referenced based on the laws of our land, and that how did this happen, mm-hmm. and there should have been a security clearance for him and that type of thing. And mm-hmm. instead of actually investigating, they came back and said, they accused her of being against Islam. And they even went further than that. The president made a new policy that says remove from all of our libraries, all of our records, you know, anything that refers to Islam, radical Islam, and don't bring Islam into our security type things, what she talks about. And you can see, you can hear this. We actually have the actual interview. You can listen to the entire segment. That's what we have there. We have the segment, just that one segment. So you wouldn't have to listen to a whole, you know, first hour, extra hour. You can listen just to that segment. So it's called VFN Radio Highlights. And but it's really important because we're counting down the moments right now, and it looks like our president's made a covenant with Islam. And he feels, quote, it's my job as the president of the United States to defend Islam from every negative to fight against every negative stereotype of Islam, no matter where it is in the world, unquote. It was the Cairo speech in Egypt when he brought in the Muslim Brotherhood is now in power. You got to pay attention. We have to wake up, church. You know, this is, we're talking, you know, VFN Radio is to the church, to the one who's gone astray, you know, encouraging to come back, or the ones being drawn to God. This is, we're not broadcasting for the purpose for people who don't want God or walk with God, that denies Jesus Christ as Lord. That's not what this is about. This is about us getting God's perspective. You know, we're Christians. We love God. We abide with him.
That's right.
We believe Jesus is Lord, and we've laid down everything for him, and we will continue to do it. And that's who we are. We're not somebody that's giving you, you know, a real good balanced truth, but at the same time, we're serving another Jesus. You know, you got to know that. It's a big difference. We got to get it all in order. We got to get, you know, if my people who are called by my name would get it in order. And so we got to find this out. Check it out. So the number one story on the VFN Torch. The second one is worshiping on a pitcher mound. R.A. Dickey is still there.
Still there.
So beautiful how sports figures are standing up for God, doing their jobs with excellence, and, you know, being recognized in the world. What's so encouraging to me is that you could do that too. You can be that person, just like an R.A. Dickey, you know, just like a, help me out here.
Drew Brees.
A Drew Brees, you know.
Jeremy Lin.
And Jeremy Lin is so humble. I mean, the way he, I mean, he's just like amazingly humble, but intense, you know, he just focuses on the game. And we have an article, as a matter of fact, on the VFN Torch about him, and also Drew Brees and
Tim Tebow.
The thing, we could look at them and go, we could admire them and go, yeah, look at them. Or you could say, you know what, how come I'm not a Tim Tebow? How come I don't do my job with excellence? You know, how come I don't do what I'm doing? How come the world doesn't know that I'm here and that I love God and I acknowledge him? And that's what we're supposed to do. That's number two. Number three is buying the image of hard work. This is an article talking about how society today is going and digging out old jeans that people used to work in.
Wow.
This is how far we are away from work. Every time I think of this story, I'm just like, are you serious? But it's true. We have it. People are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Crazy.
For some man's jeans he probably never washed while he's climbing through some cave digging out some gold chips, you know, gold dust from way back when. And they're studying the creases and the rips and the tears in the jeans. And they're going, this must mean that he rode a horse because he has some bent marks behind his knee. You know, you wouldn't believe it if it wasn't true. But this, we got to understand, that's how far Americans have come away from hard work. Not all Americans, most Americans. And that's why our hard laborers are going over to India and going to China. If you have not read the book, The World is Flat, it's already got a second edition. I don't even know what the second edition is. But you have to understand that they predicted this based on, you know, the lethargicness of the workforce in America, where Americans are not wanting to do hard work. They're not wanting to do it. So now but this is the kicker of that. And then we're in top three, that people are paying $400 for a brand new pair of jeans that was ripped. I mean, they study. They look at the rip on the old pair of jeans that they found dug under some ditch somewhere. And then they look at the new pair of jeans and say, okay, I need to rip the knee about here. And then they look at the little, you know, scruff mark that came from, you know, slopping the hogs, feeding the pigs, plowing the field, all the hard work. And they say, okay, now we got to make these jeans look like that they were actually doing that kind of work. And they'd scratch it up like with a metal brush and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, you know, in the New York Fashion District. You can see this whole thing on the Torch. You got to see it. This is the thing is that if we don't realize it took hard work to be able to establish this nation, and we cannot just look like our founding fathers and those who labored to bring this country to pass, we're going to have to be them. We're going to have to get involved again in the processes of life. You know, we're going to have to get out there and find out how milk does not come from a truck. It comes from a cow, you know, and that, you know, our produce doesn't all come from Mexico. It actually can come from America too. That our corn, we may have to stop sticking it in gas tanks and start sticking it in people's mouths. We have people starving in the world, and we're choosing to turn our fuel source into our food source into our fuel source to drive our vehicles instead of putting it in the bellies of people. I mean, we got our priorities really mixed up. And so we're looking at this, and this is what he says. They'll worship the image. Yeah, image. Image is not a real thing. It's an image made to look like. It's something that made look like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so those jeans are an image of hard work, but they're not hard work.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? And so you got to check that out. It's the top three on there. And fourth, by the way, is the organic church. You know, I love that. The church is an organism, not organic. But yeah, we'll be right back in just a moment. But I wanted to be able to share the top three with you.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, and the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know. But the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in the Lord and all this wonderful stuff, and it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland, that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know. And Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hireling. But I have empathy, though, for a leader of a traditional situation, because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to vfnfamily.org and find out more about it. You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said, when his mother, Mary, was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house. He was and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a, you know, a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there. So he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and to that we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation. And it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org.
You know, Greg, what's so encouraging about abiding is that you can have your own experience with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, many people are out there right now, and they're trying, and they really want to hear and learn something from God, but they're reading devotionals.
Yeah.
That's another person's abiding experience. That's what God told someone else.
Yeah.
But guess what? There is good news, Greg.
Yeah.
You can go to iabide.org. And you can follow a simple plan where you can hear God directly speak to you. Is that amazing?
Well, think about it. Their personal abiding experience was so powerful that you might be reading about their personal abiding experience today, calling it a devotional. And it is affecting you some way. You're actually eating another man's groceries. Do you know that God has food for you? Taste and see the Lord is good. Do you know that he has more than enough? He wants a personal abiding relationship with you. And you can find out more about that, just like you said, John, at iabide.org. You know, you write your own devotionals. When you start abiding with God, we have eight-year-olds that are writing their own devotionals. And they're just it's their own personal time with God, and they're writing it down, and it's a powerful encounter. Nobody can take that from them.
Fresh bread. Fresh manna daily.
Oh my goodness. iabide.org. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing, the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, people are just so, things are moving so quick. You remember, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, sixth number. It's like, man, they have three eights or zeros in their number. It's like, oh my goodness. You love those, like 1, 2, 2, 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up! You know? I know. Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe, and you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV,
mm-hmm.
that's VFN TV, to the number 22828. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me for the end of the first hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're going to be talking about, in the extra hour today, we're going to have an interview with Tony Evans, talking about his viewpoint on what's taking place. You know, a book, we're going to be talking about his book, Why Should Christians Vote? And we'll have him speaking on it as well, and his viewpoint on what's taking place with marriage and our country. We're looking forward to be able to talk about that. But also, we're going to be talking about and try to begin the conversation about sexuality in the church, because we got some. The reality is, you know, there's only one hell, and there's only one heaven, and no matter what people say, and there actually is three heavens, but the heaven God's in is the third one, put it that way. And with that, you know, we have people that got their hands in one sin, pointing at another one who has their hands in other sin. It's like, listen, all men have fallen short of the glory. We got to find out, you know, what we need to do and how we need to do it.
That's right.
And so we're going to begin a conversation about that. We may be even talking about the book called Click, which means, you know, one thing that the internet's revealing to all of us is that, you know, all men have fallen short, and that, you know, the hearts are filled. But the word of God says, you know, our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can search our hearts but God? You know, and not to be shocked about the reality of what God said, but to understand, to be wise. And so we got to begin this journey of how do you survive in a culture that's after enticing our sin natures to be able to do something that our God doesn't want us to do. And if we did bite the fruit, then how do we come back out of that? You know,
that's
and
right.
Because it's not over until God says it's over, right?
Right.
But I do want to share. So catch that in the extra hour. Hopefully, we get this time to be able to do the word of wisdom today. The word of wisdom is the 26th of the month. We're talking about Proverbs 26. We're going to be reading from Proverbs 26, chapter 26, verse 24 through 26. A malicious man disguises himself. Listen to this. A person that's malicious disguises himself with his lips. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people do a lot of different things to disguise themselves, but a malicious man disguises himself with his lips. But in his heart, he harbors deceit. His intentions are not good. Through his speech, he's charming. Good evening. You know? And he says, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. His malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Understand this, that, you know, when somebody's coming to do something evil, they're going to have probably the sweetest speech you've ever heard before. I mean, there's people right now, there's people that are even leaders right now, and people that are, you'll find out those that have ended up in false doctrines, you know, and went the wrong way in God, that they are very good orators. They're very good at the ability to be able to just talk, you know? And they're just like, oh, that was so nice, but yet it was so wrong, you know? And when you start hearing sweet lips with deceptive hearts, you know, then you're not going to know it unless you actually find things out. But so many people at a glance receive what people are saying as who they are, instead of realizing that you only know them, Jesus said, by their fruit. And you don't know people by their ability to give a political speech. You don't know them because they say Jesus, that they know Jesus. You know if they know Jesus by their fruit. You know if they profess the same Jesus, not because they say they profess the same Jesus or that they're Christian. You know them by the fact, are they walking out what they're saying? You know them by their fruit. And so right now, there are so many people that are easily, that just listening to words, you know, if you're a good speaker, it doesn't matter what you really are. If you have an image of what we want, then people actually go for it. And I want to encourage you that though people may be trying to camouflage themselves for pretty speech, if you hold on and don't buy in, but hang out and find out their fruit and believe their fruit over their words. Believe their, I don't care if their words are the most perfect words you ever heard before. Look at their fruit. And their fruit says no, then the answer is no, no matter how sweet their words are. Today's Proverbs 26, 24 through 26, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but his heart harbors deceit. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. His malice will be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Well, God bless. We will be seeing you in the extra hour. Find out more on the VFNTV.com website or catch us on our application in your app stores. God bless.